If you would, please open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to begin reading there from the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 25. Begin reading in verse 1. Excuse me. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" Whenever you're looking for, trying to figure out how I'm going to preach, and whatever, I try to come up with some things. Sometimes I want to come up with a good title of a lesson, and so the title, I get this to work. The title for today's lesson is Got Oil. And that's my question to us this morning. Do we have oil? Do we have oil in our lamps? This parable that Jesus gives, it's really a continuation from chapter 24. And so when you go and look at chapter 24, there are some questions that were posed to Jesus. And Jesus is speaking to the crowds and the scribes and the Pharisees. And scholars debate over chapter 24 as being, you know, a very hard chapter, whether or not is it just talking about the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem that occurred in AD 70, or is it strictly to the second coming of Christ and that, and is it talking of both, right, and of those things? And so, even if it pertains, Matthew 24 pertains solely to the destruction of Jerusalem, there are other passages in the New Testament that teach the same thing that Jesus teaches in this parable of Matthew 25 about the second coming of Christ and being ready for that, okay, and being ready for His return. And so I don't want us to get too wrapped up in that, but I want us to think about the parable this morning and for just a few moments and think about this and how it can apply in our lives and how we can use this in our lives. If you think about the parable itself, the key elements that are in this parable. First of all, you have 10 virgins or 10 bridesmaids, okay, if you will. If you want to use that word, some translations would use bridesmaids in that. They go out with lamps and they are awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom. Okay? And so it says that 5 of these virgins are foolish. They take no extra oil with them. So they have their lamp, and they have oil, must have oil in their lamp, have some oil, but they don't take any extra oil with them. And so Jesus calls them foolish. And then you have 5 other virgins that take extra oil with them. Okay? And so the bridegroom is delayed in his coming. He didn't come when they expected him to come. The bridegroom's arrival is announced. The virgins then trim their lamps. They're getting their lamps ready, okay, for the arrival of the bridegroom. The foolish virgins find that their oil is running out. Okay, so their oil is running out. They plead with the wise virgins to share their oil. Please share some oil with us. But the wise virgins refuse because they say there's not enough oil. If we do that, if we give you our oil, then we're not going to have oil for our lamps when he shows up. So as the foolish virgins go out to get some oil, the bridegroom comes and those prepared go in with him to the wedding and the door is shut. Okay? Jesus makes sure he says that the door is shut at this. The foolish virgins then arrive, but they're not allowed in. They're not allowed in. He doesn't open the door back for them. They were not prepared. They were not ready when he came, and he's not going to open the door again for them. Then Jesus makes the application. And so, really, you think about this parable itself, the application that Jesus makes, it's very clear, okay? It's very clear. And one of the things that is, you can go because of Jesus' comments leading up to this parable. Okay, remember I told you it's a continuation of chapter 24. So if you go back, let's go back to chapter 24 and let's look at verse 42 beginning. Jesus says in chapter 24 and verse 42, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." And so that's really the same thing that Jesus is saying here, or the point that he's getting to, the main meaning of this parable. Number one is that there is the need for constant watchfulness. There is the need for constant watchfulness. In chapter 25 and verse 13, the end of the parable, listen to what he says. "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." No one knows the moment when the Lord is coming. No one knows. So he says, you be alert. You be ready. You be watchful. Just like those virgins that they didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. I want you to think about it. You think about the tradition of a marriage, okay, and if you were invited to a marriage, and if you didn't have electricity, okay, and you were waiting outside, and you say, okay, well, they invite us to come to this wedding, chances are it'll be about 6 o'clock, you know, or maybe it'll be 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and they're sitting there waiting and waiting, and they're still waiting, and the bridegroom shows up at 12 o'clock. How many people would have thought that? Not many. Out of the 10 that he says, only 5 of them had enough oil to last that long. They were preparing just in case the bridegroom was delayed. And guess what? The bridegroom was delayed in coming. There's a need for constant watchfulness. This is not the only place in the New Testament that Jesus or that the Bible or other writers of the New Testament tell us to be watchful. Okay, so let's look at some other passages or some other people in the New Testament. Look at Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others." Okay? Let us not sleep with us, but let us be alert and sober. Be alert and watchful. Be ready. Do not be like those who are not prepared. Do not be like those who are just going to live life any way they want to. Be ready. Be prepared. So Paul tells the Thessalonians to be ready. Look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 10 beginning. He just got through saying that in verse 9, the Lord is not slow about His promise of judgment. He's talking about judgment there in the context that some people count slowness, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, He says, will come like a thief. Why do you think that, notice that there's three passages here that we've read, and all three talk about Him coming like a thief. Why does He say that He's going to come like a thief? When does a thief break in and steal? Does He come when everybody's waiting, got the lights on and sitting there at the door with the gun, you know, waiting on Him to break down the door? Is He coming right then? Or when does He come? He comes when you least expect it. We might say, you know what? Our house got broken into last week. We were on vacation. We were gone. So when you least expected it, right? Nobody was home. Nobody was ready. Nobody was prepared. Peter says the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. And we'll stop there. Listen to what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, speaking to the church in Sardis. He says there at the end of verse 1, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. He says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. There it is again. And you will not know at what hour I will come to you. What is He telling them? He's saying you need to be awake. You need to be alert. You need to be ready for His coming. There is the need for constant watchfulness. Moment to moment constancy. You see, you can't just say, okay, well, I'm a Christian. I punched my ticket and I'm going to sit back and I'm just going to relax and wait for God to come or for me to die, whichever one. I'm just going to sit back and wait and do nothing. It should be a moment to moment constancy where we are alert. We are on the ready. Not knowing the day or the hour is coming. We don't know when it's going to be. That means we must always be ready. This is the basic message of this parable. Now, there's some other things I think, though, that we can glean from this, that can help us to kind of go along with this theme of being ready. These lessons from a wedding feast. Number one, excuse me. Christians are like the virgins then awaiting the bridegroom to come. Some Christians are wise. And what I mean by that is that they are diligently preparing themselves for the Master's coming. Giving heed. What does God want us to do? You ever wonder that? Once you become a Christian, what does God want you to do? Well, He tells us, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's just kind of a summary statement that kind of gives us an idea of what we are to be doing. As we go through life, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That requires study, doesn't it? If we're going to grow in the knowledge and in the grace of Jesus Christ, we've got to know what He says. How are you going to know that if you don't study? Right? Part of growing is studying. And the more we study, the more we're going to see, hey, this is how Jesus acted. These are the things that Jesus did. These are the things that Jesus said. These were the kinds of people that Jesus talked to. These were the kinds of things. And we're going to try to be more like Him each day. We are to grow in the knowledge. And that's what the wise Christians are doing. They look for. And they live according. They're looking for. Notice what we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Looking for and hastening unto that day. How many of us are doing that? How many of us are looking for the day when Jesus comes back? Are we looking forward to it? Are we hastening that day to come? Are we saying, boy, I sure hope we don't come today. I sure hope I got another day to do what I want to do. Right? I hope I can work on that tomorrow. See, the wise are, they don't know when He's going to come, so they're always going to be ready. You see, brethren, for the wise Christian, the coming of the Lord is going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blessing. But you know what? Some of us as Christians are foolish. We know the Lord is coming, but we're just not prepared. We may even try to be like the evil servant in Matthew 24, 48, and 49, who says, my master is delaying in coming. He's not coming right away. So I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to take what I want to take. Yet Jesus has warned what will happen to such evil servants. So which ones are we like? The wise virgins or the foolish ones? And that's something that each and every one of us has to answer for ourselves, right? Number two, the oil for the lamp. I asked you, do you have oil? Okay, you got oil? Oil for the lamp. It's not talking about good works to try to earn your way into heaven or doing anything like that. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about faithfulness. Preparedness. Prudence, okay? That's what the oil is. It is faithfulness. A constancy. A constant preparedness. This is, says, I'm going to live for, I don't know what's going to happen today. Today, Jesus may be coming back today. So I'm going to live my life like that. This is the way I'm going to live it. I'm going to do what needs to be done. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. The oil for the lamp stands for faithfulness. Another thing we can learn from this is that we should not trust on past accomplishments. And what I mean by that is, note that the foolish virgins, okay, that Jesus calls the foolish virgins, they had some oil. Okay, they had made some preparation. It's not that they just showed up and they didn't have anything, right? I mean, if they would have showed up and the bridegroom would have been on time, we'd have been, hey, we're here, right? We're ready. We got our lamps. We're ready to go. We're ready to go in with you. They made some preparation. They had some oil. But foolishly, they trusted in what they had done in the past. Maybe another way to say we shouldn't rest on our laurels either. Things that we've done. You know what? I've done a lot for the Lord in the past. I did a whole lot of work for Him last year or the last 10 years or the last 20 years. And you know what? Now it's just time to sit back and wait. I'm tired. I don't want to do anymore. Are we foolishly depending upon what we've done in the past? Paul didn't do that. You know, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and verse 12, notice what he says. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting the past. He didn't go back and say, oh, I'm going to tell everybody what I've done, all the good works I've done in the past. He says, I'm going to forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are we pressing on? That's what we need to do. That's how we will continue to live the kind of lives that God wants us to live. Pressing on. The next point. One thing we need to understand, and this is an important one here. You cannot borrow a pure heart or a godly character in a crisis. Another way of saying that is, can't borrow someone else's oil when Jesus comes back. You see, you've got to have your own faithfulness, your own constancy. You're not going to be able to rely upon your spouse. As much as some of us wanna, you know, we have a good godly spouse and we just, boy, it's easy just to hang on to them, you know, and say, well, all right. But we're not gonna be able to do that. We're not gonna be able to do that. We've got to have our own faith. We cannot impart what salvation we have received to someone else. They must receive it from the Lord Himself. We cannot be saved by association. Be real great, say, well, you know what? Just everybody, all the members here at Medina, right? We're all going to be saved because we're all part. We're all in this building this morning. And so we're just all going to be saved because we're just all together. We're all one. It'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? We just say, oh yeah, we get so many people we can cram in here. We're saved. We're good. Okay? But that's not the way it is. Each of us, from Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, we must have our own name in the book of life. See, my children are not going to be subtitled underneath my name. Or I'm not going to be subtitled underneath my mother's name or anybody else's name in my family that's above me or older than me. Each of us must prepare to meet our Lord. And the last point is that those unprepared will not receive a second chance. Someone says, you know what, man, this parable, it don't really make sense, does it? Because you know that if you went to a wedding, okay, and you let everybody in, they shut the door, and you came up and knocked on the door, that they're going to open up and let it in. They're going to let you in, right? It's not a big deal. Oh, man, this is not a big deal. Okay, remember, this is the Lord's story. And the Lord said, would not open the door. In fact, He says, I do not know you. So what does that tell me? I need to be ready. I'm not going to have a second chance. There's not going to be another chance. At the end of your life, you're not going to, some God will say, oh, well, okay. Okay, we'll let you in. You know, that's, yeah. Jesus said no. So what's the answer? You be prepared. You take the extra oil with you. You have it with you all the time. Because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, as we were saying, we don't know when you pass that car on the way home that car is not going to swerve just a little bit and hit you head on. You don't know when Jesus is going to come back. You don't know when the bridegroom is going to come. So you need to be ready all of the time. When the Lord comes again, the time for salvation is gone. So how do you maintain a state of preparedness? Well, brethren, I tell you what we've got to do. And this one is so hard for us. Okay? But we've got to do this. Be careful not to let this world preoccupy you. Do not let the things of this world take precedence in your life over what God wants you to do. Through its worldly lust, through worldly concerns, whatever. Do not let it preoccupy you. Be steadfast in prayer. Do you know, brethren, the more you pray, it's easier to maintain an attitude of watchfulness when you're praying. Don't go a whole day without praying. Okay? Jesus would get up early in the morning just to pray. In fact, he showed us one time he stayed up late one night and prayed all night. And he was God the Son. He already had this relationship with God. He didn't have to try to build it. He didn't have to try to do anything. He already had it. But yet he understood the value and the importance of prayer. Don't let the world preoccupy you. Be steadfast in prayer. And be diligent to grow, as we talked about, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in the book. Okay? Stay in the Bible. That's why we talk about a daily Bible reading. That's why we have Bible lessons that we're trying to get. It's not, okay? Don't get the wrong idea about Sunday morning Bible study and Wednesday night Bible study. It's not for so we can check it off that we did it. Okay, it's not that we can have this, well, we gotta go do our lesson, we gotta do this. It's so we stay in the book. It's so we know what the book says, so we know how to stay prepared. It's to try to keep it on our minds constantly, because let me tell you what, brethren, if you're not working at it, the devil's gonna keep your mind occupied. Okay, and he'll have your mind in everything else except where it needs to be. So we need to be constant, moment-to-moment preparation. In this parable, this beautiful parable that Jesus gives, he speaks both of heaven and hell in it. I want you to think about this. The time is coming, and I'm sorry that cut that off over there. You're not going to be able to read that. So, you can read part of it. The time is going to come when the great plan of God for His people will joyfully culminate in the wedding feast of the Lamb, Revelation 21. And what exultation there will be for those who are ready to meet Him. But brethren, what darkness and emptiness awaits those found outside when that door is finally and forever shut. Be ready. You live each day in a state of preparedness. We don't know when our Lord is coming back. We don't know when we're going to meet Him. But make no mistake about it, He is going to come back. So what does He tell us to do? Are we to be worried all the time and scared all the time? No. Be ready. Be alert. Be on the alert. Thank you for your attention this morning. We're about to sing the song, Will Jesus Find Us Watching? And it goes along with this parable, okay, what we're talking about. And if Jesus were to come today, Is he going to find us watching? Is he going to find you prepared? Will he even know you? These are questions that you must answer for yourself. If the answer to those questions that I just gave you, if your answer to either one is no, if you're not ready, you're not prepared, if you're not watching, if he doesn't know you, then do something about it before we leave today. He sent Jesus down to die for you so you don't have to die, so you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be left outside when the bridegroom comes. We can help you in any way in becoming obedient to Jesus Christ this morning. Please come while we stand and sing.